this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past but the future.
This is the stupidest thing that I ever have heard in my life. Sorry about that last little part there. I you know what, I've listened to this thing over well, not too many times because she bores the hell out of me. I have no idea what this woman is trying to say. You know, I have no idea. And these are the leaders of the free world that we are listening to. It's a scary, scary thing. And we have, and I've said this over and over again. It's one of my favorite movies, I think, The American President. And at the end of it, Michael Douglas talks about we have serious issues in this country, and we need serious people who are going to deal with these serious issues. We don't have people that are serious. You know, Joe, when he started, you know, he was mocking Donald Trump. And, you know, now the adults are back in the White House. We heard the media say the adults are back in the White House and all, you know, great things are going to happen and things like that. But we don't have adults back in the White House. We have, I don't know what we have. When they talk like this, it's almost like children who are doing a book report, you know, that they haven't even, you know, opened up, cracked open and even read. They're just, you know, having their mom or dad write down something that maybe they read it when they were in elementary school or something. I have no idea. But these people just don't have any idea how the world works. They have no idea how the American people, what we're actually thinking and feeling. And not just the administration, okay? This is, this, you have it, it's sad enough that the administration has you know, invested in this whole, in what's going on in this world with the climate, climate change and transgenderism and denial of certain, you know, definitional words and things like that. We just don't, you know, they've done this. But you also have, of course, you have the media now who, you know, they find it their job to, the only thing that they do now is just support the president. As long as that president is a Democrat, they're just another voice in support in the administration. They don't ask these people difficult questions. They don't ask them the questions that they would similarly ask if you had a Republican president like Donald Trump or any. I don't care who it would. I don't really care who it would be. They just don't. As reporters and as journalists, they just don't do that anymore. And for the average American, that's what we're wanting to do. That's what we're. That's the information that the American people need, and they just aren't willing to do that. And it's also spreads into our corporations, and you know, we have decisions being made on a marketing standpoint where people, these corporations, these businesses just don't understand their customers, their base. They don't understand them. And they are foregoing who we are in each one of these cases. I don't care if it's Bud Light. I don't care if it's Maybelline. I don't care if it's Nike. You know, they just don't get it. For some reason, they just don't get it. And the only thing that's important to them is this environmental, social, governance idea and scores. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're being held hostage by these Vanguards and these Black Rocks. I think it's Black Rocks, and these people who are pushing this ESG and CEI scores. In order for investments to take place, You would think that some of these companies are so big that they could just tell them to go to hell, and I don't want to deal with them. I think maybe Anheuser-Busch is starting to kind of like get the idea as this boycott continues to, you know, gather speed and things like that. I don't really think that boycotts really kind of work very well because they're not sustainable. They have been proven to be not sustainable. They, you know, we do it for a little while, we get bored and we move on, and then, you know, and I think that corporations kind of like, they anticipate this. They anticipate the lull and the bad, you know, the losses for a little bit, but they always anticipate it's going to come back. But I really think in these instances, if you're going to send a message to corporations to stay out of politics, completely stay out of politics, you know, make your beer, make your Coca-Cola, make your makeup, do your sporting wear for women and men, and stay the F out of politics. That would be my advice to you. You will be much happier people. You will understand your market a little bit better. And you're supposed to know this stuff, but, you know, here I am. I'm a nobody. I really am. I'm a nobody. I work every day for a living. I drive and do for FedEx and things like that. So, I'm just this guy, this average American out here who is just watching what's going on in the world. And I'm amazed at the missteps that these corporations and the media are making, and it's amazing. Watching this unfold is just an amazing thing to watch take place. I recently asked a friend of mine, who we were both in the printing industry for years, and with this whole Tucker Carlson firing from Fox, and everything, you know, personally, I could really care less about all the, you know, conspiracy theories and all the different theories of why he was let go, and it really doesn't matter to me. I mean, I listen to Tucker every once in a while. I disagree with him on certain points, other things I would agree with him on. And, you know, it was show business in a way. I mean, Tucker's a very smart guy. He's going to do really well no matter where he goes. And if he's smart, he'll go independent and start his own podcast or whatever he's going to do. I'm pretty sure he probably has an idea because he wants to be able to speak his mind. And the only place you're really going to be able to do that is on a platform where you can speak your own mind, right? You can't do it at Fox. You can't do it at CNN. These guys are going to dictate to you what you are going to say and how you're going to say it and how you're going to show on your face on their shows. And you know what? It's their program. It's their corporation. It's their business. It's their media. They have a right to do that. So I don't think Carlson wants to do that. I think he wants to be on his own. He wants to write, which he is a phenomenal writer and a personality. And I think wherever he goes, his people are going to follow. No matter what Fox does, they're gonna go after this guy, and try to make him, you know, Satan 2. Of course, you know, Trump is already Satan 1, so they're gonna try to make him Satan 2 and make him out to be a bad guy and start pulling all this stuff that's been going on for years, and bringing it to light to the media. And it's amazing to me that Fox News, who's supposed to be the conservative, are now spreading this to the New York, you know, spreading things about Tucker and about his language and using the C word and all this stuff, with some people that, you know, maybe I don't know them, but, you know, from what I've heard, some of these people that he has made his comments about, you kind of like almost deserve it. Not that they say that they deserve it, and you should probably never use that word, but that's okay, he did. And anyway, and they're actually not very good people. So, but it's amazing to me that you're starting to hear things, and things are starting to be leaked to, you know, to the New York Times, the Post. You're going to start seeing these stories pop up, and that Fox is leaking to these other entities, these other media entities, and these other legacy groups in order to stop Tucker from taking his audience with him. And, you know, I don't think it's going to work. I think Tucker's going to give him the double barrel family friendly, you know. I like to call it the American featherless, you know, the bird. He's going to do what he wants to do, and Fox News isn't going to do anything. They're going to sue him. They're going to try to, you know, keep him bound by his contracts or something like that, end up paying him millions and millions of dollars. And but Tucker's not going to be the kind of person that you're going to shut up. You're not going to put a lid on him, and he's just going to continue to grow. Because he's earned that over many, many, many years and has brought, you know, millions and millions of dollars into Fox. He carries so much weight that probably nobody else carries. And he's gonna be just fine. But as I was mentioning before, with my friend, we were both in the printing business, and I was selling in the printing business for about, that was all my career. Basically about 27 years total. And when the market crashed in 2008 and the printing industry was starting to decline before that took place, but that really took a toll on a lot of family-owned businesses. You know, the one I worked for was, I think it was like 62 years old, and they were having some struggles before that, but that really just, that put the nail in the coffin. And you know, around 2010, 2011, you couldn't buy a job in the printing industry, and the printing industry continued to, you know, be subdued by the digital marketing age that was coming. And then I switched over that because that's where I needed to go. You couldn't find anything in printing, so we switched over to digital, and I started doing, you know, SEM and SEO and websites and all kind, you know, that kind of selling. So I did that for 10 years until I'm here out in Utah now, and I'm driving for FedEx, which I love more. I think I love more than that. It's like I go into work, I have these number of boxes and these number of stops, and my job every day is to get these boxes off the truck and come back empty. And I can come home. I don't have to worry about numbers. I don't, you know, the only number I have to worry about is how many I got, how, you know, keeping my delivery at 99% or 98% or whatever it is. I don't have to worry about, you know, my goals for the month and things like that. It's really a nice feeling. And anyway, I'm getting off the track a little bit, but, you know, I asked my friend, I says, do you think like the legacy media is kind of like in the early stages of the print media? And he responded back to me. He says, yes, I think that they are. I think it's, you know, maybe in the early stages of it, but the legacy media has such a poor track record of, you know, honesty, and there's no journalism anymore. On either side, I don't care. I really don't watch any of these people anymore. I don't watch ABC. I can't. Here where I live, apartments, I have cable, but I think I've turned on that box maybe once or twice in the 2 years that I've lived here. I do everything on demand. I want a story, I look it up. You know, I hear something, I read it online. So to me, ABC, CBS, NBC, all these CNNs, Fox, I don't listen to any of them. I just don't. I'm not trying to be callous or anything. I just don't think that you get the truth. I don't think you get a version of the truth that they want you to hear. And that's both on the conservative side and on the liberal, far left progressive side. And I think that all of them are just basically kind of enemy to truth. I mean, to complete truth. Yeah, you have to do a little bit more research. You have to be a little bit more diligent in trying to find the right information and the right sources in order to make a good, you know, to find out what the truth is actual. But I mean, if you're really interested in the truth, you are going to put the time and effort into finding out what it is. I don't look at, you know, the Don Lemons and the Tucker Carlsons and all these. And, you know, I mean, I love listening to Megyn Kelly, but I have nothing against none of, I mean, well, maybe Don Lemon. I think he's a moron. Anyway, but I don't. They've always been to me like not entertainers, but just their images of entertainment to me. I think, you know, since Megyn Kelly left Fox and everything, she went out on her own. She is, you know, she has the ability to be able to express her thoughts and her feelings and present information with what she says. She has facts and data, and she has interesting guests on. And I like that format more so than having to wait till 8 o'clock to come on and listen to Tucker Carlson, you know, on whatever day he, you know, whatever, whenever show aired. I like that, and I think that that's what's going to take place with Tucker going forward. No matter what he does, he's going to be successful. So Fox News can throw everything in the kitchen sink at him and the toilet and everything else, and they're not going to stop this guy from being successful. If you listen to his first little bit about truth and about people being able to hear truth and know that it's true and being able to say what's on your mind and with facts and truth on your side, it'll overcome the misdirected disinformation, misinformation that's out there in the legacy media. And for that reason, I think, you know, we're starting to see the uprise in podcasts and these shows popping up over the last 2 or 3 years as a result of people just wanting to be able to get on and say what they think and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You know, you see these stories in the news. They're not immune to the left and to people complaining about them. You know, you look at the Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, all of them, you know, the people are criticizing them, trying to get them to, you know, you have senators and Congress people who are trying to get these people off the air because they just don't want opposing opinions about things. Ideas and things like that to come forth, and you're going to get, no matter what you do, you're going to get attacked. You're going to get, but I think as more and more of these take place, and you see instances like Tucker Carlson, I think that this is becoming more and more the field and the avenue, the trail, the path that a lot of people want to go on because they just want to be able to speak their mind and speak their truth. Not their truth. They want to put out there what the truth is. And they're gonna have their conservative or liberal kind of leanings. I understand that. I'm not stupid. And that's where you got to kind of like look at it and say, okay, this is this and this is that. But at the same time, I want facts. I want data to back up what they say. If they don't have it, then I have a tendency to say, see you later. I'm not listening to you. I don't want to waste my time. I got too many other things to do and too many other responsibilities. People's time is so valuable today. And between work and if you have a family, if you have children, you have this little sliver of time that you are actually, you're dedicating that time for learning and for instruction and things like that. And you need to go to sources that are going to give you that in that timeline. You just don't have time for BS anymore. You just don't in this world. There's so much information out there. It's just so much to do. I mean, this podcast that I do, I do this on my own. I don't have a team of people, you know, doing stories and following up on stuff. I don't have a production manager. I've got a guy that helps me, my friend who helps me with my audio, and that's about it. I do all my research on my own, and I do it at night after I get home from work, after working 10 hours. 12 hours, and sometimes I fall asleep looking at articles, reading articles, and I try to get as much information as I can. Sometimes it's not the best in the world. Sometimes it's really good. But I think we're starting to kind of like make a U-turn here, and people are I think they're really thirsting for truth. They just don't have the time for the bullshit anymore, and they are looking for this information to guide their own lives, to guide their their marriages, their family, their children. And they just don't. It's too valuable to them to spoil on just unnecessary things that are going on in this world. Okay, and so much of this is just redirect. I believe it with all my heart that it's just this redirecting that the real issues out there we're not really talking about. All these things are out there that are just kind of covering up the real issues. You know, you look at Mulvaney and you look at Budweiser and all these people, and we talk about that they got the whole world talking about transgenderism and whether, you know, we should support this or whether we should believe in it. And you got this group that is just adamant with bullhorns and screaming and yelling and calling you homophobic and transphobic and bigots and racists and blah, 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 blah. All this crap all day long, every day. And I don't think that's the issue. I think that it's this old switcheroo thing. I think they're trying to say, get you, look over here, you know, and they're over here doing this thing that is actually more damaging than what the transgender movement or whatever they're trying to masquerade as the issue. It's not really the issue. You can't. I'm telling you, this whole issue with transgenderism and this belief that you can just become whatever you want to become, a boy or a girl, because you think you are, and you think you're a cat or an owl or a llama, and I have to as an individual accept that. That delusional kind of thinking and feelings. I just don't. Everybody has the ability to look at this stuff and say, does this make sense? I rely on my common sense with things. I might not have all the data, but I have common sense. And when I see this stuff, it just doesn't make any sense. Okay, when I see Dylan Mulvaney and him dressing up like a girl, it just doesn't make sense to me. And then what that does is it caused me to go back and look at his life and look at what his life. He's a talented singer, and he just never made it as a singer, right? So he's gay, and so he comes out as binary. So he has to get online, he has to get on air and tell everybody he's binary, and then that doesn't work for him. So he comes on, and he says, "Now I'm gonna transition to a young girl, and I'm gonna do this whole thing 360 days to become a young girl," which is a miracle in itself because I don't know any females that become girls or women in 360 days. Usually it's like 17, 18, 20 years before you do this, and you go through a lot in that timeline. So he's cut it down to a year, which is an incredible thing for this man to do this thing. And for the life of me, I can't understand why you'd want to pretend that. That's the choice he's made. But it's all about money. It's all about he hasn't made it. So this is the lane that he has chosen. That's a popular lane. And now look what he's getting. He's getting people to pay him money to pretend that he is a little girl. And you got all these other people that are doing the same thing. And you look at their lives and you look at the possibility of why they are doing the things that they're doing. And you really have to pause and think, about this. And you really have to, Leah Thompson's another one that's got some serious emotional issues, that baggage that he's carried with him. And this, there's just so many things and so many issues today that we're just inundated with thinking about this stuff, that maybe over here, maybe the collapse of our dollar, maybe ESG, these investment firms are are basically targeting these corporations to force them in order to embrace this environmental, social kind of persona in their businesses, which is absolutely going to destroy it. And then you sit there and say, well, you know, what does that do to the dollar? What does that do to the market? And I just think all this stuff is just a bunch of it's just a bunch of, like, you know, fireworks out here. Ooh, look at the pretty star. Look at the pretty fireworks. You know, look at that one. Look at this one. And it keeps you from really thinking about what the real issues are. Just to give you, for instance, I was kind of like looking at some stories, and some came across my feed. And this Professor Galloway, I don't even know who this guy is, but I think he's on Bill Maher. It doesn't say who he's on, but it looks like his desk where Bill Maher interviews people. And I want you to listen to this guy. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about what are the real issues that we should be looking at, versus what we are seeing in the media, what they are forcing us to, and putting in front of us and feeding us, versus what the numbers in the background really show. Listen to this. This is really kind of cool. I'm hoping this is the one. Hold on. Here we go. Here we go.
Should they pay for the sins of their father and their grandfather? Because a 19-year-old who doesn't have any prospects, with just a college degree, without a college degree, who has an education system that's biased against them, boys are twice as likely to be suspended for the exact same behavior as a girl, five times as likely if you're a black boy. You mentioned some statistics. If you're a boy on a man on Tinder, if you're in the bottom half of our average attractiveness, you have to swipe 200 times to get a date. To get confirmation, you have no value. And we have to have an honest conversation. Mating dynamics are different for men and women. Women, 75% of women say that economic viability is important, only 25% of men. Women mate socioeconomically horizontally and up, men horizontally and down. So the result is a lack of household formation. And essentially, there's nothing more dangerous than a lonely, broken young man. And we're producing too many of them. And finally, we're having a productive conversation, because who wants more emotionally and economically viable young men? Women. Advocating for men does not make you anti-women.
Amen to that. I look at that and say, well, is this one of these things that they don't want us to see, this data, and they want to throw all these other things in front of us on the news and things like that, and keeping this kind of information away from us. And luckily, you can, you know, watch a show like this, and you can kind of get a glimpse, or, you know, a small glimpse into what this guy is talking about. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the degradation of masculinity, men, and things like that that's been going on for years and years and years. But we don't hear about it because of, you know, of extreme feminism and this Me Too movement and all this stuff. And what we're actually doing is we're actually tearing down the individual. And tearing down the individual, we're also tearing down our relationships. We're actually tearing down the exact things that women want. And we are developing and we're producing men who aren't really men. Is this one of these, you know, is this one of those little secrets that are out there that are secretly being done, that are secretly being pushed forward, that we're not hearing about, and yet we're talking about Dylan Mulvaney? I could care less about Dylan Mulvaney. I really don't care. The guy has no value to me. Okay, Leah Thompson. I get the whole women's sports movement, and I agree with that 100%. Keep men who are pretending to be women out of women's sports. They are invading women's sports, and they're going to ruin women's sports if this continues, if these people don't pull their heads out of their collective asses and realize what's going on. But underline what is really happening. And to me, I mean, it's the overall destruction of truth and morals and standards and principles. That's what we are seeing. That's the underlying thing. When I was young, I had the president of our church, and I think it was David O. McKay in the 60s. I think it was David O. McKay that made the statement. He says, there is no other success that can compensate for failure in the home. Okay? No other success. And he is right. And that was in the 60s. In the 60s when I was growing up, 70s and 80s. And that's true. That's why the church implemented home evenings and getting families together and doing service projects, having discussions about gospel principles and family and church and civic responsibilities and things like that, all the things that are important in this world. And today we have an attack on our very being, who we are, men and women, boys and girls. We are the very core basics of who we are as individuals. See, I was raised that I'm a child of God. I'm a son of my Father in heaven. I'm a spiritual son of my Father in heaven. And I have an opportunity to come, go and return to Him if I learn to be obedient to His commandments, take upon myself His Son's atonement and repent of my sins and try to make myself better. I have an opportunity, and when everything else I do and all the effort that I make, that's where that intercession comes in, and I, hopefully I can make it back there. And that this earth was created for that purpose. It makes sense to me. This earth was created as a testing ground so we could learn to live not in the presence of our Father in heaven, not a memory of what it was like beforehand, but to live by faith. And slowly but surely, we are seeing the same. We are seeing the destruction of the family. We are seeing the destruction of the family unit. We're seeing the destruction of religion and belief and principles and standards and a belief in God. We're moving away from that. And we're seeing generation after. This has got to change. Because believe it or not, I mean, if you have like a generation that is not going to church, and then they're having children at smaller amounts, by the way, but if they're raising children and they are not taking, they've decided that religion isn't the way that they want to raise their children, and they are not teaching the religious ideologies and those things to their children, they're not taking their children to church and associating with other people who share similar values, guess what? You are going to naturally turn to kind of a secular type of belief in your life. And this is what we're seeing happen with the generations that are ensuing as a result of parents and these people who are not embracing or are moving away from a belief in religion and God. And what we're seeing is the evidence, the facts of these decisions. They are harmful. They are harmful to us as human beings. They are harmful to us as citizens of our cities, of our states, and of this great country that we're part of. You're supposed to. It just really is frustrating to me to see what is happening, and sometimes it dumbfounds me to, like, how are we allowing this to take place? Are we, as a people, this blind and so just uninvolved that we don't care and we don't see our actions, how they are going to be perpetuated into the future? I just don't get it. I don't see how women allow this this degradation of their own, who they are as women, by these men who are pretending to be women. I just don't see why there's not more of an uprising and more of a disbelief and just being pissed off about this. I just don't get it. I don't see why men are allowing themselves to be demasculated. I just don't get it. I know the bullhorns are very loud, and I know the liberals, not really liberals. I mean, liberals are basically kind of, they're kind of more, I don't want to say conservative, but this is the progressive, very far left progressive, and much more dangerous than anything on their, progressive right. They're both dangerous, but this is dangerous stuff. This is dangerous teachings that our children are being infected with, and we need to, as adults and as parents, to really look at this and fight this back. Because these are these deep-seated ideas and philosophies are the things that we should be fighting for, and don't be blindsided or blinded by the trinkets and the fireworks, because that's not what is really what's going on here. It's like this. Dr. Galloway said, we have to have open conversations. We have to have discussions about these things. Mental health. This is what's causing. We're accepting mental health as a natural thing now, and it's not. And we are supposed to accept these emotional issues as normal, and it's not normal in any way, shape, or form. And like I said, all you have to do is just listen to your common. All you have to do is just listen to yourself and listen to common sense. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. It's never made sense, and until the last 2 or 3 years, where it's been accelerated so much, it surprises me how. You know, the foot on the gas on this whole ideology and climate change, transgenderism, gay, lesbian, the destruction of family has accelerated so much that it's hard to grasp. There's so much information out there that you just can't keep up with it. But if you focus on what is what you can focus on, and that's your family, that's your relationship with your wife. That is your children, and you participate civically in your local governments and your state governments. This is what is going to change things, and we got to be as we have to be going back to Budweiser. We have to be happy, and we have to be serious about. I don't want to say boycotting, but boycotting is a word that comes out of my mouth, comes to mind. We have to be serious in how we approach this thing, and it can't be momentary. It has to be something that is lasting. You have to be committed to it. It has to be something that, in order to affect change, you have to continue on the same thing. It's day by day, the little things that you do every day, the things that you say, the things that you read, the things that you listen to, those are the things that are going to, and then say something about it, voice your opinion, don't be scared, and that somebody's going to come after you. I know it's tough, but you have to stand up for it. Hey, listen, that's all I've got today. Thanks for listening. I hope I'm not rambling on too much, but this is serious stuff here. This is serious issues, and we have an upcoming election in a year and a half. We need to really elect people who are going to be serious about dealing with these issues, and God, I really hope that. That we see, first of all, a slowing down of it, and then eventually a return to the things that really matter most to a civilization, to a people. We've seen many, many civilizations fail because they've allowed sectarian kind of ideas and philosophies and replace religion, replace a belief in God, and the end of each one of those is all similar. And if you think that the United States of America is any different, then you're blind, you're stupid, uneducated, and you need to really do some reading. You need to do some investigating on what's going on in the world. Because it's right there in front of you. All you have to do is open your eyes and open your ears and make the connection. That's what you need to do. Listen to people that and not just accept stuff that people are saying, but really listen to it and evaluate it for yourself. And hopefully that we can see changes start to take place. That's all I got today. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a good Monday. Listen, if you like what my podcast, please give me 5 stars. Share it with your friends. I'm trying to build an audience here, and the only way I can do that is if you share it and tell them you like it. If you have any comments, just, you know, I have my website's robscottpodcast.com. Please email me there. Give me a comment. I'm on Facebook. You see, comment on Facebook if you want. That's fine. I'd love to hear from you. Listen, have a good week. Be safe out there. Be smart. Be educated. Be careful who you listen to. Strive to live good principles and good standards. And until next time, talk to you later.